The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop. With me, David Chombe, and let the discussion continue. And yeah, it's quite important to thank Mathias Sangala. And now is a platform where we discuss about economic affairs, development, policies, and everything that affect our bread and butter. And you know, from the hour of 6 until the hour of 8, this is the platform. This is the platform where we have you know, constructive engagement, so that we make sure that we get the Namibia that they want in terms of development, in terms of policies, and most importantly, in terms of advancement, in terms of human development. Because at the end of the day, after all the debate, after all the intellectual debates, after all the governance debate, at the end of the day, somebody who is on the ground, an ordinary person, must be able, the life of that ordinary person must be able to be changed. After the deep discussion on an international platform, we must ask ourselves questions to say, how is this discussion improve the life of an ordinary person? And we see a lot of people, you know, they are waiting for election results. They are coming out one by one, but we still wait for the final and final announcement by ECN, especially when it's coming to electing of regional and local authority elections. And it's also a matter of asking ourselves questions to say, what then now? What can we do now? Yes, we have complained. Yes, we have, you know, argued. We have, you know, spoke about negative things and also good things about those who led. But what will happen? What is the role of a citizen after electing somebody to power? How are we keeping that engagement? Apart from politics, what is the involvement of those who are within the constituency, within the local authority? What is the level of engagement that they are having with their leaders for us not to end up with deterioration of institution of governance, institution of the state? And we have seen a lot of complaint. We have seen eligible voter, somebody who went and registered to vote, but they are not voting. They are not prioritizing that. And what is the role of our, you know, citizens toward development, and also the relationship between those who are governing and also those who are governed? So before we go to that conversation, that is going to be the main conversation for today, it's quite important to look at what is happening around the world. What is happening around the world? What is happening in the continent of Africa? And also, what are some of the new developments, particularly in terms of the economy, in terms of trade? And also, where are we standing as a country in terms of our developmental priorities? And it's quite important to start with what is happening in what's happening in Guinea-Bissau. It was indicated that yesterday, military officers claimed total control of Guinea-Bissau and arrested the president of Guinea. And, you know, it's quite shocking, or we are continue to be shocked by states in Africa, especially where democracy is not valued. We are continue to be shocked by what is happening, especially in that part of Africa. And it seems like, you know, some of these decisions which are being made by military officials is like a motivation, and is becoming a trend, and it's also becoming dangerous for the development of Africa, where we are going back to the use of guns. We are going back to the use of that of who is military powerful to lead. And how are people in Guinea-Bissau going to be in the next 1 year to come, especially when the military took over? And earlier this year, there was also arrest of some military officials in Guinea-Bissau on an attempted coup. But as we are speaking, it was stated that, the president of Guinea was arrested, and also the chief of staff, the armed forces chief of staff, General Biango, and also his deputy general, and as well as the interior minister. And, it's very tough. It's very difficult out there, especially when military taking over government, and that is not in line with African developmental agendas. We spoke about silencing of guns. We also spoke about condemnation of overthrowing of government. That is not in line with African Union priorities, and also not in line with democratic institutions. But you see some of this development happening in different parts of Africa. This will happen in Madagascar, happen in Mali, happen in Burkina Faso, in many other countries. And you're asking yourself to say, where are the people of Africa going? Who is behind this change of government? Who is going to benefit from this change of government? And what happened after military takeover? And it's also very important, particularly those who do economic analysis, to look at did it help anything, or is just continuation of getting another that you thought you were taking out? Because some of these people also, they have been in power. It's only that they were not given that opportunity as presidents. But it's also a question of saying, how do we strengthen the institution of democracy? How do we bring trust back to the people? And how do we connect politics to the economy? Not only politics for the sake of politicking, not only politics for the sake of elections and power, but politics and the economy, to realize, to say, it's not only about power, but it's also about economic freedom. It's also about recognizing an ordinary person to be part of the main national developmental agenda, and also to strengthen collaborations, because this happened just not even a day after the end of AU-EU summit, where leaders spoke, African leaders and European leaders spoke, among others, peace, security, cooperations, and also stability, in order to trade. Now the question that you're asking yourself is that when you have frustrated individuals, when you have military personnel taking over government, how is this going to impact the internal trade of Africa? How is this going to impact the internal trade of Africa? How is this going to impact what Africa wants to get into? It's not only about military takeover, it's about militia, it's about terrorism. Why are there increment in terms of terrorism in Africa? And the question that you're asking yourself, and it's a question that a lot of analysts have also asked, to say, Africa does not produce weapons, but in most war conflict zones, you find super machine guns that you have never seen, things that you think are toys that you see in movies, but you find them. You find drones, you find high-level military equipment, and you're asking yourself to say, to whose benefit is this situation? Why are the African sons and daughters fighting each other where they were supposed to be united and enjoying themselves in mother continent? And why is the increment in terms of this change of government by the use of a barrel of a gun? And what will happen moving forward to make sure that this thing should be avoided, it should be stopped, and Africa become a peaceful, a nation? Because setting of this presidency is dangerous for the reputation of Africa. It's dangerous for investment, and it's dangerous for trade too, because you don't know that who you are putting an agreement with that is going to be there for the next 10 years or so. You don't know that that policy of trade will be, there for long. And you also do not know that it's going to be stable until our time, particularly in those dangerous, zones in Africa. Imagine you are trading with the Sahel region and you do not know what will happen in the next 2 weeks, because it's about that of we have a gun who make decisions. And what can we do to make sure that, our leaders, they protect us, they protect the institution of democracy. And we look at real development in terms of fighting who lead, who should not lead, when are we going. You know, it's like, you are going to a football match, and instead of you guys teaming up and plan very well about how you are going to win that match, in this case it's a match against the economy. You are already fighting who is going to be a captain, who is going to be number 10, who is going to be, a goalkeeper, who is going to be replaced, and all these things. But we are being diverted to the real agenda of economic development. And is that going to be achieved soon? So let us look at Guinea-Bissau and move forward.
Soldiers in Guinea-Bissau say they've taken full control of the country until further notice. Their announcement on Wednesday comes a day after both the top candidates in last week's tightly contested presidential election declared victory. Earlier in the day, shots were heard at several sites in the capital Bissau, although it's unclear who was responsible. The High Military Command for the Re-establishment of National and Public Order decides to immediately depose the President of the Republic, to suspend until new orders all of the institutions of the Republic of Guinea-Bissau, to suspend until new orders the activities of all media outlets, to immediately suspend the current electoral process, and to close the land border by sea and national airspace. The military takeover is the latest in a string of coups and attempted coups in Guinea-Bissau since it gained independence from Portugal in 1974. The Electoral Commission was due to announce provisional results on Thursday.
It's tough out there. It's very dangerous out there. And stated that all the operations of the state are suspended until further notice, and the border closed down. Marine and land. And just to ask the question to say, for how long are we going to fight each other? And for how long are we going to have mistrust in each other's leadership? And what can we do to move forward?
Do you ever wonder why we have so many road rules? Like, don't jaywalk, don't drink and drive, don't drive with underinflated tires, and don't speed. It's because we don't want you to put your life at risk. Don't become a statistic. Don't become a headline. Be a responsible road user. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at issues of development from Guinea-Bissau there. Somebody must be able. I think we should get an analyst to say, what are the key motivations? What are the key motivations? What are the key motivation to some of these challenges? What are the key motivation to some of this change of government? And what is the impact of change of government to human rights, to the economy, and also to the strength of the institutions of democracy? And who is behind all these changes? And also, how can Africa protect itself, protect its citizens, and also protect, those who are within the continent, and look at real issues instead of fighting with one another. So before we go to South Africa and in the US. Let us look at global funding. Let's look at global funding, especially from agencies of the US toward fighting of HIV. It was stated that global funding cuts devastating HIV prevention program, says UNAIDS. You know, ahead of World AIDS Day on the 1st of December, the United Nations body fighting the HIV virus issued a warning on Tuesday and said millions of people globally have lost access to treatment and prevention care due to financial shortfalls. It said the global response to diseases entered crisis mode after world largest donor, United States, stopped funding when Donald Trump took office in January. And that is a concern. And there's a call for action. There's a call for action to say 40.8 million, almost 41 million people are living with HIV worldwide, and 1.3 million new infections occurred last year, and 9.2 million people are still not receiving treatment. AIDS is not over, and that the words of UNAIDS Executive Director Winnie Byanyima, and you know, we need to look at this news to say the cutting of fundings to HIV treatment has direct impact on you know, on the world, and also to say what are the alternatives that need to be done, because what other alternatives need to be done to make sure that in terms of health of individuals of Africa, individuals of the developing world, people are taken care of, and also to see what is the contribution of the developing world when it's coming to medication, when it's coming to medicine, what is their contribution, and what is the role of medical researchers in Africa and also other part of the world to make sure that they have an alternative, not only to say we are waiting from World Health Organization, we are waiting from funding from the United States, we are waiting from funding from powerful nations, but what have you done with your wealth to make sure that when the situation become tough, you have something to survive with, you have somewhere to survive on, not only to say, guys, we are dying because nobody is coming to assist us. What is the contribution in terms of either is vaccine, it in terms of either is you know, medical treatment. So let us look at the news.
Ahead of World AIDS Day on Monday, the United Nations body fighting the HIV virus has issued a dire warning. UNAIDS says millions globally have lost access to treatment and preventative care due to financial shortfalls.
Today, this is our call to action. 40.8, almost 41 million people are living with HIV worldwide. 1.3 million new infections occurred last year. And 9.2 million people are still not receiving treatment. AIDS is not over.
It says the global response to the disease entered crisis mode after the United States halted funding when President Donald Trump took office in January.
That caused a lot of panic, confusion, misinformation across all strata of our society and our programming. The tablets within facilities, and these tablets were on shelves, but the service providers meant to then make these available where it had been laid off. That caused the disruption in adherence for treatment and prevention. Importantly, that disrupted trust among our communities.
UNAIDS says the funding shortfall is having a lasting impact on people globally. Users of preventative medicine fell by 64% in Burundi and 38% in Uganda, while Nigeria's condom distribution dropped by 55%.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at economic development, and that is what's happening. That's what's happening. It's not easy out there. It's very difficult. It's not easy, especially when it comes to health and when it comes to support. And also the question of asking ourselves to say, while we are busy praising the world When are we going to praise ourselves when we are busy depending too much on the world? When are we going to stand on our own? And how can we build our own institutions? When we are busy fighting who should lead us, what and who is an enemy, how are we going to trust each other? Because in a situation that we are, when you are not receiving global funding, it's not only the poor people who are going to suffer, and also those who have wealth, because when you have a budget cut, it also means that those who do not, not only those who do not have access, for example, to finance or access to, support to get those medication, and also those who have, wealth, because if you don't have a strong human capital, if your people are sick, you are not having employees, you are not having clients, and things will deteriorate. That is why sometimes it's quite very important to understand that when you have a weakness in the system, do not only think about those who survive in that weakness, also think about the impact that that or who does not have anything will have on you. Because imagine you have, like in Namibia, we have a few wealthy people, and you have a lot of people who do not have basic needs, and situation deteriorate. For example, as you are seeing that there is no fundings, or the funding cuts, especially when it's coming to supply of real treatment of HIV and all these things, then people start getting sick. Not only the poor people who are going to suffer. Because if people start getting sick, people are not coming to work, people are not concentrating, there's a lot of things going on, people and hospital will be full and all these things, and the economy will go down. And that is where the game is. That's why in African context, in Namibia too, the game is bigger than political game. We need to make sure that we expand or we grow to the level of saying, how do we build industries? That's why the discussion for today will be what will happen then after we elected those into power. What will happen then after we elected those into power? Because dust is settling, and we have another 4 years to move together. Whether we like each other, we don't like each other, that is not the matter. What is important is that are we able to work together as a nation? Because that is exactly the conversation that we are going to have, especially when it comes to issues of development. On the other side, after handing over of G20 presidency at the director level, after South Africa hand over G20 presidency at the director level, it was stated that the president of United States of America, that is Donald Trump, says South Africa won't be invited to attend G20 2026 summit, and he also announced that all payments and subsidies from the US to SA will be stopped with immediate effect. In this regard, it's a matter of questions to say, is this the beginning of retaliation? Is it the beginning of retaliation? And for how long this is going to be? And what is the impact of that to South Africa? And is this a retaliation based on US not attending? As US was invited, did not attend. What is happening? And also, is it a right platform? Because you're asking yourself to say, why should the US and South Africa fight? South Africa look like a small fish. But how come a superpower fighting with a very small country in terms of that? Or is it bigger than that? Is it bigger than that? Is it just G20? And why are you not inviting somebody if he invited you? And how is this tension going to impact SADC and also Africa? Because we are always indicating to say a news in South Africa, an economic news in South Africa, is an economic news in Namibia. An improvement in South African economy is an improvement in Namibian economy, until we come to the point where we diversify, until we come to the point where we change the international trade balance. Not really necessary to say we cut off South Africa, but to say we have more alternatives that we can trade with. We have more alternatives that we can buy, supply from, and that we can rely on in terms of trade and economic expansion. Because when South Africa is being punished, it's also us that are suffering. And yeah, while we are there, it's also quite very important. It's quite very important to make sure that, you know, when it's coming to election result, make sure that you follow the website of www.localelections.eaglefm.com.na to make sure that you get recent updates when it comes to election results. We are seeing the election results are coming out. They are coming out. We are seeing the election results are coming out, especially results. They're coming out. We are seeing candidates in that part, that side of Kavango East, where you see only two candidates who were contesting. You see that independent candidate Bangu Nginga got 140 votes. And also Waya Bangu Lucas from Swapo got 24. And we are also seeing quite results coming out from that side of Kavango East too, where you see in terms of candidates and political parties, you see that Sinonge Stephanus Bangu of Swapo got 111 and over or other candidates. And we see the dynamics in terms of the results, but it's quite very important. It's quite very important to make sure that you follow that website. That is www.localelections.eaglefm.com.na so that you get the latest election results. Do the calculations, count, compare, and also do not only look at who win, who did not win. Look at the data. And also, you must be able to interpret data. What are the data meaning? What is the geographical area of that constituency? What is the geographical area of that, local authority? What is the pertinent main issues that drive?
Save big this festive season at WB. Get 4 kg Kadila mixed chicken for $184.99.
Yeah. You need to look at what are the things which are driving people into politics, and also what are the main issues that in demand or which were at the center of election campaign, and also what motivated the voters to go and vote, and also what are the challenges that those people are facing. That is why today, when we are going to embark into that discussion, particularly from 7 o'clock, it's quite important for you to come and ask your question, to give your contribution, to say now that elections are over. Last year we elected our president and the members of National Assembly. This year we have already done electing our leaders of local authorities and also regional authorities. Now, the question is that from here to where we are going in the next 5 years, what is my role as a citizen? That is where we are going to get into. Yeah, looking at that side of Nigeria, it was stated that parents of the abducted school children in Nigeria, they are feeling hopeless. They are feeling hopeless, and it's also that they are indicating that they are being kept in the dark, particularly in terms of information, and also in terms of the whereabouts of their children. And some of the children are indicated to say they are young, as 10 years, and out of this abducted 300 children, the parents are concerned in terms of information, and also in terms of the whereabouts of their children. As we indicated that, Northern Nigeria, especially, in the Northern Niger State in Nigeria, and also other part of Nigeria, there's a bit of a challenge of abduction. You see militia, kidnapping children from schools, and also priests, and also teachers, and over 300 people, which majority are school children, and also teachers are abducted, and there are no clear information about, there are still no clear information about which group claim responsibilities, which group claim responsibilities in terms of abduction, and also what efforts are there that the authorities are putting on to make sure that in terms of retrieving people back, in terms of, returning people back, there are some efforts which are being done. But there was a communication from one of the Nigerian general who indicate to say they have intensified the search and is made to be day and night. And there's also a call from AU. So a call from AU for assistance in terms of security, particularly in terms of assisting, retrieving those who are abducted, and also maintaining of peace and stability. And you also start to get the picture to say the other time the US wanted to send some of the military personnel in Nigeria, especially when President Donald Trump was complaining about kidnapping and also the killing of the Christians in Nigeria. Then you also start asking yourself a question to say, are the officials in Nigeria, the military officials and also the security officials, really not able to retrieve those who are abducted? Is this proving the point that you need external intervention so that your people can also be saved? Or what is the game here? What is happening? But let us look at this news, and before we come to the conversation.
Anxious parents of the over 300 school children seized in Nigeria last week by armed men say the government is keeping them in the dark about rescue efforts. No group has claimed responsibility for abducting the children and 12 teachers from a Catholic school in the remote community of Papiri. What affects me the most is that every day I'm depressed, no food, every day crying and fasting. Bring back our children, please. We're seeking help. For parents, the stress has been unbearable, with local officials saying two of them have since died, one of a heart attack. Some of the children are as young as 10. 50 students managed to escape over the weekend. As we speak, to sleep or stay at our houses is hard. Even in our houses at night, there's no peace. Because from the day the incident happened to this date, every day, rumors are always spreading about the kidnappers coming back. Some of the children escaped by the will of God, but my son did not. I was told that he was helping the younger ones to escape through the fence, and it was during that process that he was kidnapped. We're very sad, especially myself. He is my last son from the family. Nigerian authorities say helicopters and ground troops have been deployed to secure the release of the remaining captives. The abduction was the latest in a wave of attacks by armed groups that target vulnerable civilian populations.
Yeah, it's not easy out there. It's not easy out there. Especially when it's coming to abduction in Nigeria. And before we go to the conversation for today, is news coming from South Sudan today to say the president of South Sudan, Salva Kiir, has fired the Minister of Petroleum. President Salva Kiir have fired Deng Luawol from the Petroleum Ministry, and also replace him with Chol Thon Abel. And it was stated that this is the fourth time he has transferred the post from one of the men to the other in less than 2 months. Listen to me very carefully. It's the fourth time now that the post of petroleum ministry in South Sudan is be given to another person in 2 months. Now, the question that everybody must ask, and it's a question that has been debated, to say, when it's coming to wealth of a nation, when it's coming to the state wealth, who influence the decision of the nation's wealth? And why is African countries with wealth and natural resources find it very difficult to manage them? Now, South Sudan, over 80% of its GDP is coming from oil. And oil is a very critical, petroleum, ministry is a very critical ministry. Now, you also start now to see that in most cases, wealth of that country can be used either by external or by internal people to push their agenda. Either disruption or corruption. Those are the things. Now, the question you're asking yourself is also that now, look at DRC. Look at Nigeria. You look at South Sudan. You look at any other countries with mineral resources. And also you look at who is in charge of those industries, directors of institutions. Then you can also bring it to Namibia and also ask yourself a very good question to say, what can we do different to make sure that when our wealth come, we take care of our wealth. When our wealth come, we have trust in our people. When our wealth come out, we manage them properly, not to become like any other African nations. Because it's undeniable also to see. You look at even our country. It's a very critical ministry of energy industry. Nobody should admit it's a very critical ministry and should be handled with care. And everybody must also be able to understand that if somebody handles that ministry with care, then development is guaranteed. Wealth of nation is guaranteed. Economic equality is guaranteed. But if it's not handled very well, we are not different from other African countries. Salva Kiir rotated and fired people, more than 4 people at the petroleum ministry in less than 2 months. What can we do to make sure that we protect our natural resources? It's trust, and also maybe also you can also look at strong policies, because at the end of the day, we must graduate from politics to development. Because there's been a very long time that people discuss about politics, but we must graduate from politics to real development on the ground to say, this is what we need to do. And yeah, as a caller online, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401. What can we do to make sure that we graduate from politics to development, and also to make sure that in terms of developmental affairs, everybody is a participant? Good morning.
Hey, brother, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm trying.
You are trying?
Yeah, we are trying.
We are pushing, ne?
It's true.
Oh, okay, okay. What is
despite the challenges that you have outlined already in this program.
Yeah.
The global funding, the Guinea-Bissau.
Yeah.
The G20s.
There's a lot of things happening.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. And our elections also.
No, it's not something to laugh about. I was disappointed, let's see and what will happen now after elections.
Let us see what is going to happen. And then again, I'm going to check now the voter apathy.
Yeah.
The number of people who did not vote and compared the number of people who did vote.
Mm.
Now I try to ask ourselves questions. So why? How can we do it better now?
Mm-hmm.
Next elections.
Mm.
I was emphasizing a lot on the civil education.
Mm.
I think it's supposed to be compulsory now in the in our education sectors, in our former school, in our school.
But you, okay.
Starting from grade 8
yeah.
to grade 12 there as a non-promotional subject.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like what we do with these life skills.
It's a good point.
Yeah, by so doing, you are going to see a great improvement of the water apathy in our country, because those learners from there will be coming also to their households, their parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, telling them about the importance of voting. And there will be improvements, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but now if we just leave it on the East End to be doing this civil education, remember that there are, we have a group of society who cannot attend meetings by choice.
Mm-hmm.
You call a meeting, they don't attend political meetings, they don't attend ECN meetings, they don't attend any other meetings. But then if we have to, to make it to be at school, at least these learners now, they will be able now to catch up with the importance of elections, and also they'll be transferring that knowledge into the households.
Mm-hmm.
By then there will be some improvements.
Yes, I want your view, especially now after election. We have seen that people are disappointed. Some of the reasons of people not voting is that there is no improvement. Now, what can we do to make sure that citizens and the councillors, either it's local authorities, either it's constituency councillors, they work together in the next 4 years, because we cannot just wait for another election to say that we are coming in numbers, but to make sure that disappointment is dealt with. And how do we bring councillors and people together to make sure that they work on real projects, not on politicking?
The problem that we have with that, these councillors, these politicians, they are having promises to their campaign managers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, they are secret promises.
Okay.
So they are still working, to pay back the efforts of their colleagues.
Yeah.
Putting them there.
Yeah.
By the time they will think about maybe let me now go to the community,
it
will be too late.
Uh-huh.
Because when they enter office now, there will be those colleagues now who have been lining up and down.
Mm-hmm.
That's waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
And these people have been promised some side,
Then you have to save that master first. You got the point.
Uh-huh. And now the resources now. Where is the councillor going to get those resources?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that the regional councils.
Yeah.
They don't have the CDF. There is no cultural development fund which is given to them, which they manage themselves.
Yeah.
There is what we call the proposed bill now in the National Assembly.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know whether it will pass the history, because it's having some obstacles already.
Yeah.
The way they started tabling it, there was that issue of the of them being under the what the governors. And then it's already facing some rejections there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how that one would also go. Otherwise, it's really a problem, because councillors don't have funds. They don't have money. They don't have authority over money.
And in most cases,
this is the project which they think they have authority on, they are from line ministries. They are in the right ministries.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, it's just to be there, maybe to monitor, and if they are found to be allocating, then they allocate to Now they don't have what they call the payment now.
But you know, we mentioned a very important thing also of promises. But you know, when you don't keep promises, for example, you promise to create employment within my constituency so that my kid can go to school, then I have to sacrifice the cow which I only have to for your campaign so that people can come and put you into power. But after that, you don't have anything to do. But maybe in terms of, there's one thing which was mentioned about resource mobilization. To what extent do you think councillors have power to look for resources outside so that they can, outside the government so that they can develop their constituency?
It depends. You know, like here in Namibia, we do have what we call these private campaigns. How strong are our private campaigns to fund those type of activities? There are certain regions where you don't have mines, where you don't have fisheries campaigns, where you do not have strong campaigns. Like here in Zambezi, where I'm calling from.
Yeah.
What campaign can I mention which can assist with the development here? Nothing.
Oh, you don't have multinational corporations there?
Yeah, nothing, my dear. Nothing here.
Okay.
We only have the retail shops only.
Uh-huh,
and okay. This retail shop, how much can they give? And are they willing to give also?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, my dear.
Mm-hmm.
So at least, as a region, like when you go to Ilongo, in the Ilongo region, we have mines there. And we have got these fisheries companies, we are making a lot of money from our fishing sectors.
Yeah.
Yes, for those ones now, if they approach those companies, there is a possibility for them to be funded. There is a possibility for them to be given something. And imagine if that's the only sector which can now only help the other councillors. And all the councillors now, they're just looking their eyes just in one region. Now, are those companies able now to fund all the regions?
No, it's a good question. And maybe, I don't know, you know, there have been an issue of housing. We debated about housing since the independence, although some of us, we were born after independence. But the question that we are asking is that how do we deal with that issue heads on? Because what are the main priorities of 2026 councillors in the development of their constituency? You can even find some constituency without water even until now.
Yeah, remember that the councillors, as I said,
yeah,
they don't have what we call the CDF.
Yeah, but they go to the region to debate to get.
So what they only have now is the lining ministries. Now they rely on the budget of the lining ministries.
But the ministry give each region a portion, right?
Yeah, they do give each region portion.
Yeah.
But what's given to that region is goes into the lining ministries. But after I went to the lining ministry, now the lining ministry has to decide. Now, for example, if there are the boroughs, for example, maybe they are having 7 boroughs which need to be constructed. And now the council, now they will sit down now. Either maybe the 8 of them, they will decide, okay, which process now get what. And imagine if there are only 8 boroughs per year. Meaning that each constituent may be like in the base region. Because you have got 8 constituents here. Meaning that each constituent, only one borehole will be drilled. Does that have any impact?
I hear you.
Doesn't have any impact, my dear.
Let us look at local authority. I see that the Sankwasa got now new colleagues, I don't know how they are going to deal with each other. But what do you think need to be done? Because local authority councillors, they seem to have more power. In comparison to regional councillors. Now, what do you think is a new focus of local authority councillors or village councillors?
I think with the minister Sankwasa, I'm glad with the way how he has tried to show shown his muscles.
Mm.
Yeah, and by so doing, I think these new councillors now will be elected in the office now.
Mm.
They will be very much careful. They'll be very much careful.
But
I know for sure that they will make sure that at least they deliver to the people.
Yeah.
What they are supposed to be doing. Mm. I know that at least he had, according to what he had shown.
Mm. You say, he's able.
Yeah, he had eliminated the, at least the, this corruption.
Yeah, yeah.
To a certain percent. Because the local authority councillors, when they were getting there in the offices, the main intention of them getting to the offices is for them, it was for their self-enrichment.
Mm-hmm.
You find that in each town, one councillor,
yeah,
during his term of office, is going to make sure that they acquire 6, 7, 8 plots.
And then those
plots, you start even making money out of those plots by selling them.
And
at least, with the Minister Sankwasa,
he established himself.
I think it had been an eye opener to other councillors, the newly elected councillors now, who are going to get into the office, that they could not do what other councillors they were doing because they were exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, in terms of, I don't have other results, in terms of, I don't want to say coalitions, but working together. How do you think Namibia should approach this? Because we are still at the level to say if you are political party A and political party B and we are in the same council and it's 50-50, I will not let you just because you are my political opponent. But sometimes we need to work together for the development of the constituents, of the city, of the municipality. What do you think need to be done, especially from political parties, heads, to understand that things need to be to be moving?
I think there was supposed to be some educations or some lessons, so to say.
Yeah.
When these councillors will be getting into the office during their, how do you call that the first, during their first
induction
courses.
Yeah.
I think during their induction courses are supposed to be much emphasized that you are here to develop the town. When you are in this, you are no longer APC, you are no longer SWAPO, you are no longer DTA.
Yeah, no PDA.
You are here as developmental partners.
Yeah.
To develop the interest of the community, develop the interest of the town, develop the interest of the people that you are serving. Yes. Don't just push an idea, even if it's a good idea, just because that idea did not come from you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just push a good idea just because it came from the other member of a different party.
Mm-hmm.
As long as that idea it can develop your local authority, please make sure that at least you accommodate it and you work on to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Because some other people, this happens even in the parliament.
Yeah,
I remember during there was a time when McHenry Venani introduced the issue for this sanitary pads.
Yeah.
But then it was rejected, you know.
So they were fighting for that intro. I think I read it somewhere, which I know it was my idea. But why do we have to go to that extent? If you bring it on time, why can't you just finish and support you? Is it to get the political credit or what?
You will find that like our lonely party. They don't want to be underdogs. They don't want to be seen that they're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to be seen that maybe they are supporting the ideas of the opposition parties.
But I understand this politics, but why can't I just implement it very quietly? Instead of waiting for time to pass, then I can reintroduce it again.
Because
the idea is working, but I don't need to wait for 3 years so that I can reintroduce it again so that it will look like mine. I will just implement it quietly. Then at least you assisted me.
It is true.
Yeah.
So the thing that need to be emphasized during the election courses of this newly elected council. And then it must be monitored. Yeah, that must be monitored. That these people, are they really following what we taught them? Or what are they doing now in this instance?
Okay. Yeah. Last three. I want on can you assess how do you assess how do we assess cancerous performance even 1 year, and how do we assist them? Because we cannot wait after 4 years and we start blaming you with everything. We need to put you at a test also. Does the ministry help to do something to assess them, or just because you are elected you can stay there until your time is out?
There are quite a number of loopholes. Even the decentralization policies in Namibia is not working.
Yeah.
It's not working, so to say.
Mm.
Coming to the controllers, the administrators of the what? The process controllers.
Yeah.
They are the administrators of the processes.
And they are very powerful.
Now, are they having enough work which they are doing in their courses? The answer is zero.
Uh-huh.
This is jealous because I talked about the issue of the CDF.
Mm-hmm.
The government funds.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, now, how do you expect the counselors now to deliver if you don't empower on the finances? If you don't empower us on funding of projects? Because the funds which are used now to fund the project, and most of the projects which they have been funded now, which have been landed into the continent, these are from the NDPs.
Mm-hmm.
That's why some of the councillors attempt to be liars, because when he's busy campaigning, he cannot even read the NDP what's been planned into his constituency, which will be there in the next 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Mm-hmm. He just keep on campaigning just from his own memory by treating people like the people. If you ask me, what councillor, are you familiar with the NDP 6?
Yeah.
He will say, I don't know that document.
Yeah. No, I was speaking with Dominga yesterday, but let's go to a short commercial break, then we can come and conclude.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, maybe while we are there, after we summarize, I also want you to give the new elected councillors, all of them that who are going to be announced, a message that you have to them, especially regarding developmental issues. What do you think they should do, and also what need to, because I know they are listening, and just a message to them, so that because what happened 5 years is not a good thing, and nobody is happy with it. And that's why you can see it contributed to also.
Yeah.
Contributed to people not going to vote because they are complaining about not seeing anything new. What is the message that you have to them to make better things?
Just before I get to that one.
Yeah. That would be
I
honest,
was talking
yeah.
about the issue of the project in the constituencies.
Yeah.
You know that there is no policy which mandates the constituency, the CDC.
Mm-hmm.
To be having the authority over a project which are happening in their constituencies.
But CDC was supposed to be very powerful.
But then they are not given thought to bite.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is that the counselor and the control officer can identify the project.
Yeah.
After identifying the project, then if there is maybe funds which are available, which have been given by the regional council, therefore by the ministries, they do their things, the two of them, and finito.
Then they
without consulting the CDCs.
Mm-hmm.
And then that one now, just because it is And then that proposal, it can be received by the lining ministries,
yeah,
as long as from the councillors, not even ask about the minutes and the attendees of the CBC members.
Yeah, yeah.
Who approved that type of project or that person to be funded.
Uh-huh.
And that created a loophole of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
All constituent projects which are approved on the constituent level, they were supposed to be approved by the CDC's members.
That is your constituency board.
Yes, that's the constituency board.
Mm.
But now there's a loophole that even at the regional council level there, those smaller projects which there are fundings, the directors there, the regional development committee there, they can approve or even fund that project brought by the councillor without the signatories of the CDC members, without the minutes of the CDC meeting, which set and approve that type of project to be funded.
So because you said there's no policy there.
There's no policy there, my dear.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates a lot of corruption issues. Mm-hmm. You find that a councillor can just decide on his own to give me a ball.
Mm-hmm.
And when that ball is given to me, they at the regional council, he just submits my name and the name of the village.
Okay.
They don't even ask him about the member of the CDC members who set for that approval.
Mm-hmm. No, I see. I think when you look, for example, is it the school board? But when there's quite a difference now when you come to town, school boards is not the same as when you go to the village where the principal is just a principal. But when you come to town, you find the cabinet minister there who come to his kids. You find the doctors and lawyers who they stand there and question you about the budget for the school. And you have to show that you are on top of your game. But if you can also have strong, able CDC, they use the policy which is there. I think asking questions and also being accountable to those who put you there, I think could be a right thing to do.
But the thing is, this, where this project has been submitted, is there any process that submission is supposed to be accompanied by the approval of the CDC? None.
Mm.
If even at the regional level,
they
don't even ask for the approval of the CDC members. It's not mandatory.
Mm-hmm. But what is their role? Because the main decision and discussions are just for formality.
They are just there for formality. Just because if they are not given authority, because that project which does not have the authorization of the CDC members, it was supposed to be rejected in any ministry where it's been submitted.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
I get your point.
But then the line ministries, the regional councils, where the council even belongs, they just receive those things without the CDC's approvals. That's where now it creates the issue of councillors now paying for their campaigns to their members by giving them the local projects.
No, I get your point. Okay, now we have enough minutes. Let's look at the message that we have for them because they must work. I want them to work. I want them to develop, the constituencies. I want them also to be new and innovative, not to be like the previous one. Even if those who are getting power again, I want you from your perspective. What do you think they should be type of leader that are needed in the next 4 years?
Yeah. Let me start with the local authority councillors.
Yeah.
I think local authority councillors, this is you are the councillors now are responsible for the development of that town. Anything that is not, which is not in the good shape in that town, you are the one to be blamed.
Yeah.
Now, as I emphasize on the fact that during their your induction courses,
yeah,
I'm appealing to the learning ministers who are the minister of this learning minister of regional council.
Yeah,
the one who will be giving them those induction courses.
Mm.
At least to emphasize the issue of unity.
Yeah,
to emphasize the issues of working together, not to separate these counselors just because this one is from IP, this one is from what.
Yeah.
You must, when you are in that board,
yeah,
regard yourself as development partners.
Mm.
Regard yourself as people who want to develop, who want to bring development into that specific question with the councils which you have been elected for. Please take away all your politics. We don't want your politics there.
Don't want fights.
All what we want is water. All what we want is the bottles to be maintained. All what we want is the servicing of plots. That's what I'm interested in.
Okay. Thank you, Ne.
Yes. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you very much. It has been a long time you did not call, but you know, contribution matters. To say we don't want politics of politicking, although politics is a way of life, we want development. Regard others as developmental partners, because it's quite really contradictory to come and convince a citizen or to come and convince a youth of the 21st century to say you have done what you were supposed to do or what you said, if there's no tangibility, there's no report. But now that you are elected, you are the leaders of, you are our leaders. Across the, you are our leaders. But we can't continue hearing blame of other politicians from you. Let's work. If you need assistance, talk to those who can assist you. And counselors must also be able to be advised. If you have a certain weakness, ask those who can advise you. You have retired engineers, the retired town planners, you have retired business people, you have people who have been in an industry, you have retired lawyers and magistrates. And before you go to any council debates, don't go there and speak about mere things, speak about practical things. And the caller spoke about, you know, we want potholes to be fixed, we want water, we want shelter, we want safety and protection also. Those who are going to be elected, or those who are going to be elected, especially in Okahanja, what are your standing on policies, on security within that town? What are your standing on policy of security within that town? Security of children at schools, your cooperation with law enforcement, and also to make sure that people are protected. You can't just have kids getting lost and nobody, and people forgot about that. But you are a leader within that constituency. You were supposed to make sure that those people are not just fed. They are not just having security in terms of housing, but also personal security. So that is the conversation that you want to get. We want counselors who understand technology. If they don't understand technology, they must get advice on how to deal with technology. They understand cyber crimes. These are the pertinent issues. Because if we don't do that, we can debate about debating, but institutions of the state, you are making the institution of the state to lose value. Imagine how much money was spent on ECN. Recruitment, paying of people, training, and how many people have showed up. How much money was used on what? Registration of voters card. It's a lot of money. But how many people showed up and vote? And what can we do better to make sure that, you know, we get to the Namibia and the constituencies and towns that we want? So you can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. Good morning. Yeah, you can call back at 083-288-401. 083-288-401. We look at development. We are asking a question to say, what then now? After. Because sometimes You don't need the money. You have already influence. Let us have those agricultural projects at constituencies, not only on paper, to support our green schemes. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, sir. Once more again.
Yes, yes, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Yeah. Well, what is your point?
Multilateralism. How do you pronounce it? I don't know whether I'm pronouncing it correctly. Multilateralism.
No, you are an academic. I heard you are a former academic. One of my callers told me.
Oh.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. What do you mean by former academic?
You are a former academic, I heard.
Oh.
Yeah.
Former teacher.
Okay. Oh, no academic, you are a researcher somewhere, but let's continue. What is the point?
So, people are saying that this is the only way to go.
Which one?
And this multilateralism.
Oh, okay, multilateralism, yeah.
So this is the answer to the problems of the world, to most of the challenges the world is facing.
Yeah.
And this is actually the pronunciation of all the head of state, the head of organizations, all those who were there, even the civil society.
Yeah.
So because now they are saying that we just need to expand our scope, you know. The scope is so big. Then when it comes to your own individual country, your own individual country, you now need to domesticate those instruments, those declarations. I understand the concern of President Trump. And I think his concern did not start from yesterday.
Yeah.
It has been going on all along. So hence there was a deliberate attempt to make sure that they really
Okay, hold on.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
O Black Friday njino Shoprite ukukunine ofandisa onene yokomvo o masuka nake ke o mirongo mbali na gheri so mirongo ntato ano vemba no uvo o firwa ko so pa presenta o mirongo ntano mini mangaji o KG ne vindi mbo yojwa rumba ka defa yo real good ke se mirongo heta tuna ntano azi ke o KG on longo do sera o Black Prophet cook ke se mirongo ntato azi ke o sho KG mbali zo mahini ko maire ko plain culture ta ko mirongo nena ntano azi ke I no pa rusa o masuka ni ko kupisa na kupwe o go Shoprite. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I was saying that yes, people are even saying that experts are saying that Ramaphosa and the leaders and everybody must thank God that Trump did not appeal.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually going to confuse matters more. To confuse matter more in the sense that he was going to. A lot of destabilization in terms of discussion and everything.
Confusing them.
You know, when you are having those kinds of dynamics, you know, those dialogues, so critical, and there is somebody who wants to make sure that you have completely failed, especially his war against this frontier here.
Yeah.
So now he was actually, people are saying we must thank God. And for me, I tend to want to really agree with them.
But you know what, Tene? Trump did not touch feet in Africa as a president, even in the previous presidency. He was never in Africa.
Oh.
I don't know if he was here when he was a business person or he's just hearing about Africa. He was never here. Tell me which country he traveled to. I did not get that information yet. Except Obama was here, Biden was here. He was never here.
They were here, but those ones, they didn't do good to Africa.
No, you they don't need to do good to Africa. Africa, we must stop this thing of saying we need
help. How come they come here and then now start killing our leader?
No, I'm saying, in that context, I'm saying we must stop expecting good things from outside.
Right.
And sometimes our leaders, it's not them who killed them, it's us who killed our leaders.
Yeah, because they infiltrated into our criminal justice system, everything.
If you look at Libya, people who were carrying AK-47s and those, now they are blaming themselves when they put down Gaddafi. They just got military support. Then they did the whole thing.
Trump, they wanted to do in South Africa.
I think they just got air support from NATO, then they killed their own president, then the country is now messed up.
They got in there, just like Brown Mokose and others. This is how they prestated. And they were planted there deliberately to make sure that these things doesn't go forward. So your country do not progress.
It's
that we are talking about.
It's us who are destroying ourselves,
It is, we are the one who are allowing ourselves to be so much puppet of the West, and then now turn these things in ourselves.
Yeah.
Imagine somebody who have been following this commission.
And when you look, for example, at M23, through the pictures I have seen and, documents I have seen, I have never seen, for example, to say an Arab or a white person who is holding gun is M23, but what I have seen is that the guns which are made from the West and technologies from the West which are used by M23, which means it's our own people with external support that destroy each other.
Maybe, and then in conclusion, maybe then President Trump, because you see, the whole world, and people were saying, and the whole world, are they not, many of them will boycott that, because I heard the others, 2027, it will be British.
Yeah.
So now, how is he going to mobilize the whole world not to go? Because we are told now, even this time around, so the diplomatic, the relationship, the geopolitics and all these things is still playing its head in that thing.
Yeah.
But now, it's up to now. Or are you saying that there are no other summits? Because there will be a lot of meetings, pertaining to those declarations that are made.
When you look at the whole EU in South Africa, don't think they hate the US. Don't even think that way. Don't think US is isolated. That is a game of diplomacy. They look where their interests are, and don't think they hate the US. Don't think US is alone, and don't think they are speaking good, or they trust you more than they trust the US, or the other way around. Because it's about interest. If UK can abandon US for Africa, that can be done, but does not mean that it can abandon US forever. And think you are special when they are talking good when they are in your country. Because it's about how do they push their own interest. African Union is pushing their own interest. EU is pushing their own interest. The US too. If you're on the other side, you would think the tactics that are used from the other side, they are doing it for their own country. Yeah.
Yeah, you are right. But when you look at the
G20,
you got G7, the budgets, the economic prospects, and even the GDP surpass that other one there.
The G20.
It's not necessarily to isolate anybody, because we are talking about people working together.
Yeah.
So especially with looking at this this tension, you know, as a result of geopolitics.
Yeah.
So and this has got a really serious impact, and people are going to reform of those institutions. But what I'm saying is that to do that, you keep on. It's like you are doing harm to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Also, So we are saying that the operation now that, yes, we shouldn't be complaining and just say, where the challenge comes in there, it's where now we need to come in and fill that gap. To see how, of course, it's true. Some of these things, they can really be, and it's our resources anyway, when they pull out.
Yeah.
So how did they become developed? So isn't it from our resources that they are still tapping on here?
No, it's our ancestors who went to build the slaves. It's true.
Yeah, thank you very much.
No, I want you, sorry, ne? I want you to speak on the elections yesterday, or did we speak about that already? And what message do we have for those who are elected?
Yeah, yes, because that was your first question, actually. And it's very important that, yes, after the election, then what?
Yeah.
After the elections, then what?
Hmm.
I think, yes, we might expect more from them.
Yeah.
As much as is also expected from us.
Yeah, yeah.
So like yesterday you were mentioning a very good point. They say we can recall you.
Mm.
So recalling does not mean that you riot in the street and what, bring commotions.
Yeah.
So you can recall the people through the legal instrument, that the structure that's there, the procedure, the protocol, whatever.
Yeah.
So then you say, fine, you have now elected to you. Some, yesterday, some of your people are saying that they don't know them and things like that.
Yeah.
Like the example that Dwight was giving.
Mm.
So now that we have elected you, and you also mentioned about coalition where people don't even cooperate, they work together.
Mm.
So different, I understand they are from different backgrounds. But yesterday you were with Domingos, eh?
Mm. Not Domingo, it's Dominga.
Dominga, okay, Dominga.
Yeah.
So he was emphasizing on this point of synergy, creating this cultural synergy.
Yeah.
So that you can then harmonize your differences, your cultural, your background, all those differences that you have.
Yeah.
If you create that synergy, so cultural synergy, let me call it that way.
Yeah.
It will help you to organize the differences and work together.
Indeed, indeed.
Rather than adopting those kind of centric kind of thinking and all these things. Yeah. So we will not go together. It will not help us.
Yes.
So they will just be fighting. So thank you. The education that my brother is talking there is very important. Sensitize them. It's not only about orientation. We always capture them immediately when they come into parliament. They give them gender system kind of workshop with the laws and all this policy, so that they understand that gender is a cross-cutting issue and everybody must budget for it.
Yeah.
So we are still doing that. So please, thank you very much, David.
All right, thank you.
Yes, it's 40 minutes past the hour of 7. You are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and we are speaking about post regional and local authority elections. To say election is over, results are coming out with time, and we are seeing new faces. But the question is, at what then after? What can be done differently from the past, 5 years? And also, how do we get the trust back of the community? Because I will not be happy if, for practical sake, my constituency has, for example, 500 eligible voters, then out of those 500 eligible voters, is only 100, or is only 80 of them. And out of those 80, then 45 of them voted for me. And the other is distributed among my opponents. Then I'll be able to tell you that I'm a happy councillor. No, I'll not be happy, because it says a lot about behaviors of voters, because denying is a sign of something. To say I'm not going to do that because I'm not satisfied, I'm not going to do that because I'm not seeing the necessity of it. How do we gain that trust back, and how do we make sure that everybody participates in that process? And one of the callers spoke about civic education. And civic education is not only teaching about people, about elections, politics, and your civil duties. It's also about your responsibilities and your role to play. To say, after elections, I don't only want to meet my councillors at the meetings.
I don't only want to meet my councillors at the state of constituency address. I want to speak to my councillor anytime I have a problem, anytime I have a proposal, and I also want to see where he is standing on issues of constituency development, on issues of constituency threat, either it's crime, either it's development, either it's housing. What is his role there? Either it's on new development issues. And there is an issue which has been raised to say induction and training. You know, it's not about overfeeding our leaders with a lot of information. You can't give an elected councillor a book on African political philosophy. Then you expect him to summarize it, or you expect him to understand. Or you cannot give him the whole regional and rural development course. But training and technical advice where he can be able to understand first and lead at the same time. And also understanding on using experts. They are saying the great leaders are not the smartest one, but the one who understand talents and also make sure that they utilize those talents. The builders of bigger institutions such as Google, Microsoft and others is not built by just IQ level of a founder, but a founder who understands how to identify and utilize talent. So that is why that should be emphasized too. But basic understanding of issues and deeper understanding of governance and leadership must be a priority. So we have 15 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation, before we give the mic to Mike to unpack the day. We have enough minutes to discuss. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401. The question is, at what then, after elections? We have new sheriffs in town. We have other candidates who defend their position. And what then? After regional and local authority elections, what can I do in you as a citizen? How to save ECN money spent on registering people that they are not going to show up?
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, cause you clearly haven't been polanified. Like boring day at the spani, polanify your lunch hour with a delicious polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich, polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and we are looking at post-regional and local authority elections. And one thing that that you need to look at is that follow the website of www.localelections.eaglefm.com.na for the latest election results, status, and updates. So you see what is happening in your region. How did you vote? How many people have voted? And also, what are some of the new faces that are coming through? What are some of the new faces that are coming through? And you also ask your questions to say, when and how are we going to engage and also work together with those who, through the democratic process, they made it through? How are we going to work together with them? And also, you find people who are in constituencies, and they are even in towns and villages, councils and the municipalities, but they do not even know one of their councillors. You don't even know your constituency councillors. Because what is very interesting is that at any point in time, wherever you are in a constituency. Because we have around 121 constituencies in Namibia. Anywhere you are, even now where you are in somebody's constituency. anything happen within the zone where you are, you are with somebody's constituency. But where you live, you are in somebody's constituency. Even when you are, you cannot say, no, I'm deep down mountains, I'm deep down this, forest. You are in a constituency. And it's under a certain councillor. Development that you see, they are in somebody's constituency. Challenges that you see, they are in somebody's constituency. The question is that, what is the role of that leader in that constituency? And how can we work together with that person in that constituency? And how do we deal with those who are given power? And how do we assist them too? And what is our role? Because sometimes you find somebody who speak negative, somebody who blame, somebody who argue, but somebody who did not get time and sit with that person who he think is the main problem. Sometimes you just ask a question to say, counselor, what is your role? What is your plan for the next 6 months? How should we assist you? What is your understanding of these issues? What did you say during campaign and what are you saying now? We know you over-exaggerated campaigning is campaigning. We know it's marketing at the highest level. But now what can you do? What skill do we have? What assistance do, what do you need? Any contacts? Because you'll find there was a counselor at Kachari who was really practical. Not only good at speaking, but he was very tangible at doing his work. And a lot of people have seen what he has done. And, you come to understand that he's more than elected into the office. You need to do extra due to the limitation in terms of the legal framework.
Hello?
Yes, sorry to come back.
Oh, okay. How's it?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yesterday I was laughing. When I was talking to Abigail on the radio.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, she told me that she went to vote.
Yeah.
But then the person that she did cast the vote to,
mm-hmm.
She don't know them.
You see? the candidates.
Yeah, that doesn't know any head of those candidates.
Man, I'll talk to her. We have to start civic education from here.
and she's not herself alone.
Yeah.
There are quite a number of people there, yeah, who went to vote.
Yeah.
They just went there to vote just because they were told to go and vote.
But they do not know.
They don't know whom am I going to vote there.
Mm-hmm.
Whom am I going to choose?
People don't even know which constituency they are. Yeah.
Because it's not that everybody now who is going to vote there is politically active. The one who knows whom are they going to vote are those who are politically active.
Yeah.
But for a number of people who are not politically active, they don't know who is their counselor even. No, they don't know who is on the ballot paper even.
Have you seen a person don't even know which constituency they are in? They are lost there. Yesterday. They don't know. Is it here? Out there? Oh, man. It's true. Continue.
And this thing is mostly common there in Windhoek.
Yeah, it's common.
Actually, here in rural areas, it's for you to know your customer, for you to know the person that you're going to vote for.
Yeah.
But then in Windhoek is a very big area and a lot of people there.
Yeah.
And maybe, if not even I attend even one of the rallies. Yes. So that's why, those are some of the things which are bringing water empathy even there in Windhoek.
Yes,
because you are going there now to go cast your vote just because we told that you work to go and cast your vote.
But voting who?
Mm.
James, This is saying a lot, especially what you have said about civic education. It says a lot about civic education because now you are forcing me to exercise my rights, but you did not explain very well to me. Because one thing that a problem I had is that ECN have been teaching people how to vote, but they are not teaching people the necessity of vote and the power in voting.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it says a lot about civic education also to say its constituency and its councillors, their roles, and the impact that they are going to have. Because councillors cannot work alone also.
Yes. Let me go on to a different topic, but you touched on this one before.
Yeah.
The issue of global funding.
Yeah.
Actually, we said that the United Nations is also worried about the skyrocketing numbers of people now are getting infected.
Yeah.
By HIV AIDS and those who are not on medications.
Because people pulled out, yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
Now, who is the mother of all the nations? If not
who?
If not United Nations.
Yeah, I hear you. No, it's the mother.
Because all this crisis worldwide.
Yeah.
United Nations, they're not just only there, only to look at the security of the countries. And they're supposed to also, they've got different type of bodies there.
Yeah.
They have what you call the UNICEF, they have got what you call the World Health Organization, they have different type of sectors are there in the UN.
Mm.
What's their role?
But you know what I also asked the same question one day. You know what is very funny? United Nations is nothing without you.
Yes.
That's why they also have to get fundings from, and America has been the main funder of United Nations.
Yes.
Then they dictate also in many areas to say, to go this direction.
Yes.
Yeah.
And United Nations was supposed to be funded by the members of UN. I think that those are the funders of it.
Mm-mm-mm.
Even though we have got those bigger funders like US, as you mentioned before.
Mm-mm-mm.
But then we're not supposed to rely on one country, you know, for solve the UN problems.
Yeah.
United Nations was supposed to come up with the strategies how to get funds.
Yeah.
And also how to help terms of crisis, in national crisis, or worldwide crisis,
happening
in all countries.
Mm-hmm.
But now for us, now just depend on one country like America.
Yeah.
And these are some of the things which are now coming because America had pulled out.
Yeah.
Now after pulling out of America, now you see what it did not do.
We're
supposed to sit down, we're supposed to look for funds.
Yeah.
How do we get these funds and how do we mobilize, resources from all the members of the UN? That was supposed to be their task. Now for them not to complain, no, America had pulled out, now we have a drop of what?
No, it's true. Because you are putting your eggs in one basket.
In one basket, yes.
And the basket now is not working, all the eggs are gone.
The G20, issue of the G20.
Yeah.
G20 economic bloc. How effective is this G20 on the world economy?
No, G20 is very effective because when you make those resolutions, like when they look at, because you have powerful countries like the UK, you have the whole EU. You know that EU is there. You have EU, you have AU, you have Russia, you have South Africa and all other countries, the 19 members of them. But when they make resolutions, they follow on that. Mm. When they say, for example, let us reform international financial institutions, they work the talk. When they say, okay, now let us support debt servicing, and also let us also be lenient to developing countries, not to put them too much in debts, but also to help them in managing their debts, and also finance of climate. You know that there is more money coming from climate, but there is no clear information in countries, and that was supposed to be the money that we use for development. And I think it's a variable. It's only when the owner also at this decreed, because one thing to put something on paper is also one thing to do it.
Now tell me, is China and Russia also member of the G20?
Yeah, they are.
What language now are they speaking? Like now in the previous meeting, now, what language do they speak? Because I've got a lot of differences between China, America, and Russia.
The language in terms of...
Even though America did not attend this time, but Israel, I think maybe it attended also.
The language in terms of understanding or where they are moving.
Yes, where they are moving.
No.
Other differences,
oh, okay. It's only that now we have 3 minutes. There is a document, man. It's a declaration of G20 where they mention everything that all the countries agreed. Because first, before they make, before they start with a meeting, they look at points that they agree on. Then they pass what they call a declaration. And there is also a report on things that they agreed. Everyone understands, but the main things that people understand is that Africa must be part of UN Security Council. The other thing that they also speak about is international financial institutions such as IMF need to be reformed. That one they all understand, that those need to be reformed, because it's even the reason people formed BRICS, and also issues of climate, to say climate, those who are polluting the air, the land, they must pay. Because Africa, we are dying of a lot of diseases, but some of these things, they are not coming from us. Yeah, because if Africa, we can only contribute 2% to global, to greenhouse gases, what power do we have to prevent? It means that they have to fund us.
Yes.
Yeah, and then they speak a lot of things, even the issues of energy, and but one thing I understand is that it was one of the most powerful G20, but we still have to see the results, because politicians and diplomats, they can speak, but the results is what matters.
And another question, maybe the issue of tomorrow, once you deep into this one. Now, who determine the economy of the country, the power of the economy of each country?
Who determine what?
The power of the economy of each country.
No, that one is very complicated. No, it's a very difficult question, because some countries let's give an example of Malawi. Malawi is at the mercy of donors, and I'm sorry to say this, even the way they are operating their budget and they are funding their public sector, they are operating on donors and they are on aid, on mercy. If somebody pulled out, there will be no Malawi. That's why they are not standing on there. You cannot say who's controlling, because that one is like you are running an orphanage.
Now, tell me, is Malawi is not having natural resources like the minerals?
It has natural resources, but you know, African natural resources, if you don't have machines, you get 1% or 3%. Yeah, but I think the new president promised to reform. He said, no, we don't want aids anymore. We want real investment.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think in that we need to speak more. James, you also disappear. We call with who? I only see you with Suzuma. You must come in also one day. In the studio.
All right.
Thank you, ne?
Thank you, brother.
All right. Yeah, we are coming to the end of our conversation, but it's not the end of the discussion. It's 1 minute past the hour of 8, and it's time to give the mic to Mike to unpack the day. And for me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around, and continue listening to Eagle FM Namibia. And make sure that you follow out the results and ask yourself the same questions to say, what then after elections? What are we going to do? And what need to be done moving forward? But from me, David Shombe, bye-bye. See you around.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Shombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM. The Eye.